Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game, so just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Here we grow again. So grateful to be with you all, as always. We are going to read a little bit today. Surprise, I missed a chapter in Oneness by Rasha. If you've been listening for a long time, you know over the last year plus, I've been reading Oneness, the teachings, which were received and transcribed by Rasha in 1998. She actually came on the show recently to have a little sit down powwow with me as well. I thought we had read all the chapters. Lo and behold, someone messaged asking, hey, where's chapter 8? I said, hey, you're right. I never read chapter 8. And of course, there's some synchronicity with it because on Monday's episode, it was episode 770, Awaken and Live the Dream. Well, what is one of the headers for chapter 8? Of Oneness, Daring to Dream. So, yeah, you know, sneaky universe, Oneness. So surprise, surprise, we have one more holdout. It's kind of, think of it like an encore, you know, the band's done, they leave the stage, everyone cheers once more, they come out, play your favorite song. Maybe chapter 8 will be your favorite chapter, who knows? But before I dive in and start reading from Oneness, I would like to read a review on iTunes. You guys know I love my iTunes reviews. Not only do they help us to reach new people, but definitely fuel my fire to continue this labor of love. And let's see, this one came in by Zool808. Oh, what do you know? 808. We're going to read chapter 8. Yeah, I get it. All right. I was waiting until I had all of my thoughts perfectly in order and all of the perfect words, but I realized, like with everything else in life, if I wait for perfection, I'll spend my entire life waiting. I've been listening for well over a year, delaying my review, waiting for those things to be quote unquote perfect, pretty much that entire time. So maybe it's cliche, but here is my perfectly imperfect review. This podcast has changed my life, and I am so grateful for you, Brandon, and everyone else who has ever had a hand in the co-creation. Not only do I feel like I've become a better version of myself, I feel that is starting to be reflected in my relationships and parenting. I could go on and on, but I would only be repeating what so many others have said. In gratitude and love, Dana. Aw, thank you, Dana, for the perfect review. Quite perfect. I'm picturing like perfect, like the little kitty emoji with the hearts and the eyes. That's sort of my thing. I'll write perfect, P-U-R-R-R-F-E-C-T. Yeah, I know. It's perfect. Perfect. Something like that. Thank you so much, Dana. I really appreciate you completing the circle of love. And yes, perfect. Speaking of perfect, it's the enemy of good enough. And everything is perfectly imperfect. So there is no better time than the present to express yourself. Tell your loved ones that you love them. Don't wait for the perfect moment. Now is the perfect moment. Every moment is a perfect moment. Yeah, that's it. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. All right. So let's just dive right into chapter 8, shall we? Oh, let me, a couple other things before we do. If you haven't joined the Positive Heads Facebook group, definitely do that. Also, looking to get some new questions from listeners. Took a question yesterday, a couple days ago, and definitely enjoyed that. Actually, that was a fun one because, yeah, it played out in an interesting way because the person who wrote it over a year ago happened to be here in the studio and I happened to stumble upon it. And yeah, if you listen, you'll hear the synchronicity of that one. That was cool. Lots of synchronicity with every episode this week. What a surprise. All right. Chapter 8 of Oneness by Rasha. And by the way, if this is your first time ever catching one of these readings from Oneness, this will be the final one, unless there's another chapter that I missed and someone points out, but I'm pretty sure this is it. You can go back and, you know, I've read it periodically over the last year or so. I view this book as the guidebook for ascension. Honestly, it's like we're all going through this process of waking up, becoming more than what we were before. More than what our parents were, our ancestors were. And we're waking up. We're emerging into the next greatest and greatest versions of ourselves. And there's no manual for this that pre-existed, you know, okay, here's what you can expect. It's like, no, this is happening for the first time on the planet now, or at least in recorded history. And in the last 10,000 years, who knows, going back hundreds of thousands of years, how this cycle plays out. But yeah, we are waking up as a collective. And this is, a book that was received from a non-physical, collective that referred to itself as Oneness through Rasha in 1998. And, it's so high vibe. And certainly I read it originally over 10 years ago. And a lot of what was predicted would happen has definitely come to pass. So I like to, you know, if you're going to drive across the country from New York to San Francisco, there's certain landmarks you're going to see along the way. And here's, you know, it's kind of like that. You're on a journey. You're going to see certain things on the way. There'll be unique things just to you as well. But there will be some signposts, if you will. And I believe this book helps to prepare for that as we all collectively ascend. Chapter 8, the headers for Chapter 8 are, I already told you, daring to dream. There's a couple others. Anticipating extremes of experience as life themes are brought to closure. Facing the void. Understanding the blind leap of faith. Attaining the perspective of multidimensionality. All right, here we grow. When a soul emerges into conscious awareness, the layers of experience, which have been carried forth through eons of incarnate reality, begin to dissipate. The energetic charge that would have magnetized repeated examples of major life themes were completion not imminent. As one approaches the fullness of the scope inherent in a given theme, the charge carried forth builds to a crescendo, providing particularly poignant episodes that epitomize the lesson in question. Lest there be any doubt whatsoever regarding the underlying issues. Do not be alarmed as you become aware and the issues become obvious to you. When you find yourself immersed in extremes of discordant situations, it is you who called forth these dramas, not consciously, of course, for in your own eyes, you would probably be above such encounters entirely. But at a vibrational level, the powerful energetic charge still present within your energy field is capable of manifesting opportunities to explore those themes despite the fact that you may have attained clarity and full understanding of the dynamics involved. There is more required than one grand aha as the light bulb of recognition burst into the view of your conscious mind to release fully the energetic remnants of the life theme. Do not feel as these powerful episodes present themselves that the experience is evidence of spiritual backsliding on your part. Quite the contrary. By virtue of the fact that you have manifested extremes of experience, despite being in a space of heart-centered clarity with the issue in question, you can feel confident that you are at a completion with it. You will wish to respond in ways that will not re-escalate the energy charge that is being released in the process of drawing certain chapters to a close. Real awareness of the arduous process through which you have journeyed will allow you to respond with detachment and maximize your potential for bringing recurring dramas to closure. With the advent of the acceleration of your ability to manifest your day-to-day experience, there is no longer the luxury of deluding yourself into believing that circumstances just happen randomly. There are no longer the excuses for ignoring coincidences that victim consciousness provide. It becomes obvious when the backlash is virtually instantaneous that you have participated in a major way in the very creation of your own worst nightmares. That initial clarity sets the stage for an enlightened overview of the full epic, and you are able to see the threads that have become entwined in the tapestries of turmoil and triumph that illustrate your history. From the perspective of the overview, one can enjoy the humor and the absurdity of some of it, and one can marvel at the antics and at one's own blindness to what now seems obvious and avoidable. When those types of circumstances can no longer push your buttons, your own sidestepping of the energetic hooks help to create conditions where the opportunities to do so cease to manifest. These times of completion are about setting the stage for new kinds of experience. When the energetic remnants of those dramas have been swept away, you will be ready and able to create a very different kind of adventure. The reality you will be co-creating with the loving brothers and sisters with whom you share these times is one in which the sweetness of the highest possible outcome for all is manifested automatically. For all will know that it cannot be otherwise. In this state of spontaneous creation, one expects to experience the best case scenario in all circumstances and is rewarded with that as one's reality. The question then becomes, what is it that one wants to experience as one's reality? Is it less a question of what is possible? For under these conditions, all things are possible. There are no limitations. One's reality manifests as a melding of will and desire, a bonding of intent, and of one's joy and passion in the act of that creation. Life takes on an entirely new perspective as one comes to understand life as a chronicle of one's heart's desire coming to fruition and to experience its enjoyment as one's birthright. The shift is subtle, and when you have made that shift, you may not be consciously aware that you have actually turned the corner until confronted by an awareness that the obstacles and impediments which had come to be taken for granted are somehow no longer there. One ceases to anticipate those setbacks and thus stops creating them. For what one expects to experience lays the groundwork for the manifestation of that experience in one form or another. When one expects and anticipates the optimum outcome for all concerned, that outcome cannot help but be manifested as reality. Under the conditions of the world on whose very edge you stand poised, that state of the instantaneous materialization of elevated intent is the standard by which all experience will come to be measured. Naturally, free will is very much at play in this new paradigm. One will be fully capable of manifesting disaster scenarios as well as triumphant ones, and one will become keenly aware of the power of one's thoughts, emotions, and focused intent. Instant manifestation of ill will or negative focus are the potential pitfalls in a world where you get exactly what you create energetically, virtually at once. And the wielding of this newfound power by some is a temptation that will be met by instantaneous reprisal, where the severity of the lesson would not easily be ignored or forgotten. In preparation for those conditions, you are equipping yourself in these times with a response mechanism designed to circumvent the pitfalls of ego-focused reaction. As the vibration of your world continues to accelerate at unprecedented speed, the potential gift of instantaneous manifestation has been placed in the hands of those of you who serve as the forerunners of the times to come. One by one, as each of you comes to completion with your life theme issues and adds a measure of elevated vibration to the energy of the whole, the conditions of the collective become standardized and are experienced by all. Some will manifest their full magnificence and experience their attunement to the oneness in the transition. Some will succumb to their own stubborn refusal to yield to the momentum of life itself, yearning in unison for oneness, and suffer the trials of separation under intensified conditions. No one will escape an awareness that monumental change is at hand, and no soul, however lost in denial, will be able to emerge from the times to come untouched by the knowledge that responsibility for one's reality rests with oneself.
For all will recognize that reality as a vivid illustration of their own choices. The choices that are made under the conditions of the new world of instantaneous manifestation will be choices made from conscious intent rather than being the reflexes rooted in happenstance born of a diminished reality. When used as a tool for conscious manifestation of circumstances that reflect the highest good of the collective, the ability to manifest one's heart's desire in physical form becomes the means by which each individual, in the sanctity of his own consciousness, can harmonize his personal will with that of the whole. When each and every being is clearly focused on the ramifications of his own actions upon the collective, that awareness is reflected exponentially throughout all of creation, adding that measure of elevated perspective and harmonious intent to all that is. Likewise, when one has harmonized with the heart focus of the collective on universal well-being, the vibration of the elevated intent of the totality is reflected in what is manifested by each and every aspect of the whole. This is the ultimate expression of the popular saying that each being makes a difference. Indeed, each of you does, much more than you know. The challenge in the emerging state of beingness is to attain balance between the perspective of the overview and the personal ramifications of one's choices. When choices are made from the perspective of personal or material gain at the expense of the collective, that vibration of separation sets into motion an energy configuration that contributes to the manifestation of circumstances that would reinforce one's sense of separation. By opting for self-serving solutions, one creates the conditions, energetically, under which detrimental situations are experienced that reflect the underlying message of separateness. It could become easy, once one is keyed into such an energy spiral, to relive some of the old beliefs that might have manifested more gradually under former vibrational conditions. And one may lose sight of the underlying message in all choices in the new paradigm. Either the reflection of one's alignment with the momentum of unification or the reflection of one's adherence to the illusion of separation from oneness. Ultimately, one becomes clear in one's focus, and the options selected at each crossroads reflect choices whose ramifications result in the highest expression for all. When viewed from that perspective, there's truly no choice that would be of lesser benefit to the individual while simultaneously serving the universal highest good. Applying these principles now, by demonstrating your awareness of how you create your experience, it is possible to set into motion a new standard of conditioned response that reflects and manifests consistently the highest possible outcome of any interaction. As each of you becomes aware of the true nature of your reality and how you set about to create the circumstances that memorialize your mindset in a given moment, you are able to step back from the circumstances of your life and attain an overview. Ideally, that vision is a melding, not only of your history in a given area of experience, but of your aspirations and dreams of where you might be headed, were the highest possible outcome to manifest for you. When you permit yourself the luxury of openly, unabashedly fantasizing about what it is you truly yearn for and dream of, you set into motion the energetic parameters for manifesting your heart's desire. Until you give free expression to the limitless vision you keep under wraps, you cannot, by definition, create it in your reality. When you operate your life from the mindset of unworthiness to have your heart's desire, when the thrust of your energy is not daring to ask for what you truly want out of the fear of disappointment, that disappointment is virtually guaranteed. Were you to envision yourself in circumstances where your deepest longings were made manifest, without reservation and without compromise, you might begin to experience the radical shift in the circumstances of your life that would provide for you the very evidence that you do indeed create your life. Were you to dare to risk relinquishing the limitation-based thinking that keeps you anchored to the experience of disappointment in the areas that matter most to you, you might just experience a glimpse of liberation from those patterns. And were you to take the blind leap needed to catapult yourself out of your energetic rut entirely, you might find yourself able to circumvent a good measure of the repetition of events that are the norm in this process. The blind leap is one that is taken not within the confines of your mind, but is sourced within the depths of your heart of hearts. It is here, in the very core of your energetic being, that the connection awaits you that will, ultimately, carry you the full distance. When you recognize the level of connectedness that you carry within your very own heart and experience the love that is harbored there for you, you will have taken the first tentative steps toward that leap. For the leap in faith comes not in one's denial or one's repression of the fear of the void that is virtually universal. The leap in faith comes of daring to face the void and know it is for the manifestation of the illusion of separation that it, in fact, is. In order to transcend this, the ultimate fear, the fear that one is actually alone in the odyssey called life, it is necessary to surrender totally to that fear. In order to know experientially the state of fearlessness that comes of aligning with one's God self, it is necessary to undergo what might be considered to be a series of initiations. These manifestations as experiences of one's fear of the state of disconnection are in fact illusory devices that you have created for yourself so that you might have the means of proving otherwise. By consciously choosing in one's darkest hour to reject the vision of hopelessness that appears inevitable and to choose instead the knowingness that the outcome will reflect your highest possible good, you open the doorway within to the place of loving trust that will lead you home. This blind leap in faith has been spoken of throughout time immemorial and is known by every culture throughout your planetary history. Yet most address this reference with an air of mockery in light of the very real seeming circumstances at hand. What is called for is not bravery and heroism in that moment of truth, but total detachment. A level of surrender is called for that has released all attachment to an outcome. This level of surrender is achieved when one stands on the very edge of one's gravest fear and knows in that moment that there is nothing to fear. Embrace yourself in these times and acknowledge yourself for the extraordinary progress you are making as a soul in every waking moment. The very fact that you are drawn to reading these words attests to an openness on your part to aligning with the momentum of this multidimensional journey. Know that to have done so reflects great courage on your part, and that to continue to do so, despite the resistance of consensus thinking, puts you in the forefront of those destined to emerge in the new world relatively unscathed. The opportunity to circumvent some of the mountains that most will manifest and choose to scale lies in your ability, in the moment at hand, to release the need to control the result or the dynamics of any circumstance in which one finds oneself. By consciously shifting one's intent to one of conscious allowance of the manifestation of the highest good of the collective, one enhances the opportunity to manifest the brightest possible outcome for oneself. In so doing, one is able to secure a state of beingness that is unencumbered by eons of trial and error and is free to explore the joys of the manifestation of divine will in alignment with one's own. This is the blessed state of being toward which you strive in the present period. Yet, it is possible to manifest this state effortlessly, merely by relinquishing the need to embody separateness and embracing wholeheartedly the truth of the multidimensionality with which you have aligned your vision. What is meant is not that one would relinquish identity, for surely one is able to retain autonomy, but rather that one would simultaneously embody one's knowingness of the full scope of one's beingness while manifesting the persona in physical form that you know to be you. Thus, in the elevated stages of the transformation process, one would actually be the physical embodiment of the full multidimensional spectrum of beingness that is, in fact, you. By opening to the reality of that heightened state of being, one would have the perceptions possible in the embodiment of each of a range of levels of identity while retaining self-awareness as you. And the response mechanism would be that of the enlightened perspective made manifest. One would retain the knowingness that comes of incarnate experience while sourcing the heightened knowingness that comes of true multidimensionality. Each of you is focused as a traveler on the path to oneness is capable of functioning at these levels at any time. This is not a state that you will arrive at someday when you have leapt over a given number of hurdles. This is a state of beingness that is attainable in the present period and, in fact, is a state that most of you embody now from time to time. Many have become aware of moments where sensibilities are heightened, where the heart center is open and connected, and where one somehow is attuned to a level of wisdom and focus that goes beyond what one normally experiences. In these isolated moments, one's vibration has elevated to the extent that one is able to embody the higher levels of awareness and manifest the responses that would be the norm under those conditions. Thus, even though one would not, in those moments, have access to the benefit of a full theoretical understanding of the underlying teachings, one would be able to apply those understandings instinctively in one's response to interactions and occurrences. Surely most who read these words have experienced moments where one has tapped into levels of clarity and perspective that are rarefied. And most have had experiences where one speaks with a level of wisdom that is at once profound and yet simple. In that moment, there is the utmost clarity on the issues in question. And one wonders, in passing, where the wisdom is coming from, for it transcends conscious mind. These isolated moments are a taste of the state of beingness towards which you journey. These are moments where you embody the elevated perspective of the enlightened aspect of your own being with whom you are bonding in increments. The process is not focused on a clearly demarcated goal line that you cross once and for all after a marathon run. This process is ongoing. There are quantum leaps in vibration and in the consciousness that accompanies it. And there are setbacks as one is given opportunity upon opportunity to apply the understandings attained until the concepts are internalized, not as newfound knowledge, but fully integrated as knowingness. As one is able to apply one's understandings consistently in one's day-to-day life, one is able to manifest the exquisite moments of clarity more and more consistently. Ultimately, the lucid levels of perception become the norm, and one's perspective stabilizes at the highest frequencies, permitting the more enlightened state of being to preside. It is to be expected that moments of profound clarity are interspersed with episodes of diminished response, where one's performance in a given interaction is less than elevated and reflective of the vibrational levels embodied in the moment. Do not fault yourself in these momentary setbacks. Four, full integration of the principles upon which you are working at the deepest level is a gradual and ongoing process. The testing conditions with which you are living in these times allow the principles in question to be fully integrated. The application of the understandings is given a full range of opportunity to be expressed as life experience. And one is able to reach a place within where one can feel whether or not one is attuned at the higher frequencies and know when one is operating from the higher end of one's energy spectrum and when one is not. With each choice made in every encounter, one reinforces the levels at which one is able to perform in one's day-to-day life. As the principles are integrated into one's response mechanism and the reflex reactions of cultural conditioning are deleted, one emerges in a balanced, harmonious state that precludes the possibility of being drawn into encounters that would jeopardize those rarefied levels. The conscious sidestepping of questionable encounters and compromised environments help to reinforce one's heightened levels of attunement and one's ability to sustain those levels consistently. One becomes aware of a newfound self-protectiveness, stemming not from fear, but from self-love. With it comes a recognition of one's right to honor and hold exalted the sanctity of that state of being. One's priority becomes one in which the self is revered, and the maintenance of one's state of inner harmony outweighs any inclination to engage in encounters where conflict and discord would diminish that state. One becomes aware that the need to put forth one's viewpoint and to have it embraced by others is of less importance than maintaining the harmonious state within. A peaceful sense of allowance takes precedence, and one finds oneself responding with what could be called detached indifference more often than not. In this state, there's simply not the vested interest in certain issues that may once have been major triggers of emotional response throughout most of one's life. Now such matters seem irrelevant. One takes on a distant perspective with regard to the choices of others, and one realizes that meddling in the affairs of another has no place in this journey. Ultimately, one's choices are one's own, and while it is the cultural norm for so many of you to put forth your viewpoint on the actions and choices of others, this is an action that detracts from the focus of self, which is of greatest importance in the times at hand. You may feel compelled to share your more enlightened perspectives with another, but know that when that perspective has not been requested and is clearly unwelcome, your wisdom will fall on deaf ears. Simply because you have attained clarity with regard to certain issues does not mean that others are ready to receive those insights. Each of you is on your own timetable. Each of you, essentially, is on your own unique journey. And even though many of you are making the journey hand in hand with another, the timing for the illumination of certain issues comes when the individual is ready to fully integrate those understandings and not before. You can expect to encounter the stonewall response of others who are simply not able to see the simple perfection of the perspective that you have attained. Resist the inclination to feel frustrated or disappointed when your newfound wisdom is not embraced by another with whom you are aligned on your journey. There's no place for expectation with regard to the vantage point of another being. Simply present your perspective with sincere and loving intent as it applies to your own life experience. And if the conditions are such that the seed of your truth falls on the fertile soil of another's consciousness, then you will have served as the messenger, carrying forth the energetic catalyst conceptually that initiates the process of internalization within that being. Were the viewpoint presented from the standpoint of interfering in the free will or free choice of another, then the energetic charge carried in the message would have dissipated in the transference and would not be received or recognized as the pearl that it may well be. It is in your highest interest to refrain from any attempts to debate and to hammer your point home when the subject of discussion is the life issues of another being, regardless of how convinced you may be of the elevated nature of your own perspective. It is not for you to judge or to call another's attention to what may appear to you to be a distorted or flawed perspective. Your responsibility is to retain that clarity with respect to your own process and your own life issues. That is all. Unless you are serving in these times as a teacher and in the capacity your guidance has been sought by another, you are well advised to retain your internalized focus with regard to your quote-unquote revelations and to reserve your opinions for the situations where they are invited and welcome. Your journey will carry you forth through the varied scenery of a radical new world in the times to come. And at the same time, your newly elevated vantage point on the same old sites will add a dramatically different outlook that makes it appear as though you are seeing the world for the very first time. That world is changing, and you are changing with it more rapidly than you can imagine. The task at hand is to take care of your own emerging consciousness by applying focused awareness on the potential repercussions of every interaction and every energy exchange with another. In so doing, you make the highest possible contribution to the collective and to the intimate circle of fellow travelers who walk beside you on the road to oneness. All right, that is the end of Oneness by Rasha, I think. Chapter 8. I loved it. Very poignant, pertinent. Definitely had a moment yesterday where something was supposed to be delivered to me, super time sensitive, down to the hour, the delivery. Like the order was placed a week back. Of course, synchronistically, it lines up where it's going to be delivered within hours of when I need it. And I find out yesterday evening, something happened. It's behind. Not going to make it. Now, the old Brandon would have chewed someone's head off. This Brandon, I actually had a similar experience a few weeks ago where I didn't have the highest, if you will, most detached reaction to a similar type of scenario. Here it repeated again, and I felt so detached. I felt so at peace with it. And just, okay, all right, so it goes. And then all of a sudden a solution popped up. What do you know? And without all of that pain, agitation, fire that can definitely bubble up in my fiery soul, I solved the situation with total detachment, peace, acceptance, surrender. And it felt really good. Yeah. If I can do it, you can do it, guys, because, I got some fire going on. And if I can, like, temper myself, temper my fires, temper my temper, I know you can, too. And if I can dream big dreams, I know you can, too. And I'm so happy to be walking each other home on this journey back to oneness. I am you, you are me, and we are doing it. I love you all so, so much. I have a song to leave you with. This is called Purple Turtle. It's by Ancestral Elephants. Hope you enjoy. Until next time, journey well.